Praise and thanks be to our God that we truly don't have to be sad, but that we can serve our Lord with joy, because He has given us His peace and His joy into our hearts. We don't have our own joy, but He has given us His joy and His peace. And therefore, we can serve Him with joy here in the land of time. And as written so nicely, let us trust Him here in the land of time. Above, we will see Him in His glory. Here, we live by faith, but there, we will live and see Him. Brothers and sisters, but we know the Lord Jesus, when He walked on this earth, and when He was crucified, and when it was then said, He is risen, then some didn't want to believe it. And they just insisted they will only believe when they see Him. And when He met them, He rebuked their unbelief. And He said, why didn't you believe? Blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. Now, beloved, if we don't see Him yet, we believe with all our hearts. And then comes the moment where He reveals Himself to us and where we will be with Him. And for this, we are so happy and grateful. This songwriter expresses it so wonderfully. Let us trust Him here in the land of time. There above, we shall see Him in His glory. This we want to do with all our heart, also in this morning hour. Before we pray, I would like to read a short word in Psalms. Perhaps from Psalms 89, I would like to read. Then we pray together. Here it says, so wonderful, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. This is a wonderful word which we read already. This man of God, he says here, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Beloved, I don't know, but we cannot do otherwise. If we met the Lord, then we cannot do otherwise but to speak of the mercies of our Lord to the people, making known His faithfulness, singing of it all the days of our life. Whether we are young or whether we get old, doesn't matter. It doesn't change in our lives. But we remain faithful to Him who has chosen us, who called us, who made us His people. And then we cannot do otherwise. Whether we are young or whether we got old in the flesh, we cannot do otherwise but to sing of the mercies of our God and to proclaim it to the people. Dear brothers and sisters, this is something wonderful. Not as maybe some who are one day so and the other day so. One day they are believers, then they are again unbelievers. And the third time they are again believers, and then again unbelievers. No, I think the elect of God, they have received election, and they know all the days of their lives in whom they believe and on whom they hold fast to. For them, it's not one day like this and one day like that. Let us look at the true man of God. From the beginning until the end, they glorified the mercies of God, and they testified and they spoke of it. A Paul, to whom the grace of God appeared, to whom the Lord revealed himself on the way to Damascus, he was praising the Lord before great and little, before kings and before great scholars, and also before low people. He was not ashamed, but he spoke of the mercies of the Lord, proclaiming it to the people. For you, Lord, promised mercy shall be built up forever. This is the thing, not for one day, not for 2 days, today like this, tomorrow like this, one day, no. God's mercy shall be built up for how long? We just read it. Forever. The mercy shall be built up forever. And this mercy is built up forever, dear brothers and sisters. Not one day like this, and one doesn't know where one belongs. One day one believes that, and then this, going by every wind of doctrine. No. But we can say, God has given us grace, that as we heard it last night, that we let us fully align according to his word. We are so happy and grateful. Mercy shall be built up forever. And truly, it is built up. God didn't draw back. If a drawback is made, then the people make a drawback. But God doesn't make a drawback. What he said, this remains. This is so wonderful. Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Yes, and not only with David, but with his elect until our days. Oh, this is so wonderful. Brothers and sisters, this is a great joy. It should really make us happy. Serve the Lord with joy. This is his command. Should this not make us happy? I don't know. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And we can say, what the Lord promises, this he keeps for sure. Oh, for this we are so happy and so grateful, also this morning. With joy, this morning, we want to worship him. And this together, let us stand up for it. Hallelujah. Faithful God, also this morning, we are again gathered here in your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy is established. And not only for 1 day or 2 days, or 1 year or 2 years, it is built up forever. Praise be to your wonderful name. Lord, what you promised, this you keep for sure. We are so grateful this morning that we may worship you, that we may come to you, that we look up, faithful Jesus. We ask you, take everything away from us, what is not pleasing to you, and let your glory become great in our hearts, in our lives, so that we praise you when we open our mouths. Lord, as this songwriter sings, serve the Lord with joy. This is the command. Lord, this we don't want to forget, but all the time, whatever comes, whether evil or not, we see the disciples, they were thrown into prison. But even there, they started to praise your name and to sing unto you. Lord, we are free. How should our songs and our praise should be brought unto you? Lord, tune in our hearts so that we do it in the right way. We worship you. We praise your glorious name. Lord, may you continue to be with us. Blessing us from the riches of your grace is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I would like briefly refer to that, what God has done. For some, it's perhaps not so familiar that the Lord truly, in a supernatural, but in a visible form, He came down, He spoke, and He has given commissions. Before I show you the photos from the magazines from the USA, I would like to read from the prophet Ezekiel, namely from chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you in this hour, in a special way, that you be nigh unto us, that you give us the right understanding, taking away all unbelief, all doubts, establishing the connection with us, giving us grace to be connected with you. We consciously place ourselves under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb and under the leading of your Holy Spirit. In deep reverence, I would like to speak of that, O Lord, what you have done in our days. Lord, your revelation is holy. Your word is holy, for thou art holy. And we ask you, sanctify also us in your truth. May your spirit be sanctified in us and your word be confirmed. Help us now and be nigh unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today, I on purpose, I brought with me the publications from overseas. This is the Life magazine. You most surely, in all the publications, you have heard about it. And then this appearance of the cloud on this page here, in this great magazine, which was published in America at that time, when the Lord appeared in the cloud to Brother Branham on the 28th of February, 1963. Of course, this photo was made from a distance of 300 kilometers. Here I have Science magazine. And here they have it on the first page, the same appearance of the cloud. When we read in the Word of God, I brought with me some other newspaper articles. Perhaps it's not so important, but whoever wants to see them can see them. In any case, I brought them with me. And then, of course, the well-known photo is this one, when the Lord appeared in the pillar of fire. And we know that the same thing is described in a twofold way. First, as the pillar of cloud, and then as the pillar of fire. By day, it was a pillar of cloud, and by night, it was a pillar of fire. Both was the same glory and presence of God. In this way, the Lord was with Israel during the 40 years of their journey. The pillar of fire didn't depart from them by night, and the pillar of cloud didn't depart by day. When we read in the Bible, here for instance, of the prophet Ezekiel, "And I saw the appearance of the glory of the Lord," then this is totally different than if somebody says today, "Oh, I experienced the glory of God." Then he probably means an experience which was expressed, but whether he saw something or heard something, this is not clarified. When the prophets spoke of the glory of God, then they have seen something, something supernatural, and this was the sort of appearance of the Lord. The people didn't see the Lord, but they saw the shell, the cloud of glory, the light in which he was veiled in. For instance, when the Lord was born there in Bethlehem, it says, "And the glory of the Lord appeared to the shepherds." The Lord was born there, but the glory of the Lord, this supernatural cloud, appeared to the shepherds there on the field. And the voice sounded and said, "Today is born unto you Christ the Lord." This cloud of glory, after almost 2,000 years, for the first time, it appeared visibly. And therein is the extraordinary. If in the course of church history, time and again would have taken place, then in this time, nothing extraordinary would have taken place. But alone out of this reason, that during the almost 2,000 years, something comparable did not take place. Now comes the question, why did this take place in our generation? Why did the Lord appear at the end of days, at the end of the time of grace? Why did he right in this time speak in the same supernatural way, revealing himself as it happened only in the Old Testament, in the days of Moses, in the days of Ezekiel? Also Daniel saw the glory of the Lord, and then the shepherds saw it. Paul likewise saw the Lord in the cloud, in the light. His eyes were blinded of this light, and he could no more see. When he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" the answer came, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And whom did he persecute? The believers. And who were the believers? They were members of the body of Jesus Christ. And everything what is done to his own, this is done to him. So, what we did to one of the least ones who belong to him, this we have done unto him. We know Paul had an extraordinary calling, and because he had this divine commission, therefore it could not be just a thing about which he was thinking. There had to be a direct commission of the Lord before he could carry out the task. And exactly this was the case. The Lord appeared unto him in the pillar of cloud, in the great light of the glory of God, and he spoke to him. From that day on, he could, before great and little, before high and low, he could testify what he experienced. No one could dispute this, and yet there were brothers in his time who said, "Who is Paul?" And they didn't hearken to that, what he said. This is not just today like this. This was always like that. But, as we read yesterday, he who is of God heareth God's word. And if somebody is sent with the word of God, then he must hear that what God has to say. Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord. He could describe, and he saw how the bow looks like, which appears in the cloud on a rainy day. That's how the bright light looked like. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. That's how it was with Brother Branham. Nobody should think here that we would be so foolish and would think even one day to make a cult of a man. Nothing is further away than this. But in the same way, it is far away from us that we could bypass what God has brought nigh unto us. This is impossible. On that, what God has brought nigh to us, we cannot bypass it and then nevertheless stand our ground before him. Let us assume, and this we don't assume, this is a divine fact. The Lord spoke to Brother Branham. Since his childhood, he spoke with him, and he could say, the first thing what I remember is a vision which God showed me. Before he could even could think or do something, he can remember to have seen a vision. And he says, literally, he was not even 3 years old when this took place. He was wearing a long robe as the children wore them. And he says, my uncle came into the room. It was winter. He had snow at his shoes, and I went there to wipe away the snow from his shoes because he came to us. And when I wanted to do this, I saw a vision. Just imagine a small child which can hardly walk and nevertheless born as a prophet. We time and again heard it. Prophets don't become prophets after their conversion. They are born as prophets into this world. And so that you know that this is written in the Bible, I read it to you. Because some things can be said, but if it is not written in the Holy Scriptures, then you can forget it. Here it is written in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. But I look for another word. No, I wanted to read verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before he came forth out of the womb, before he was formed in the womb, God ordained him to be a prophet for the nations. Prophets of a significance and importance in the plan of salvation are from the mother's womb. They are ordained by God to be carriers and messengers of his word and of his will, and they do not confer with flesh and blood, but God speaks with them, and by the power of a divine commission and inspiration, they are preaching the revealed word of God. That's how it was with all the prophets, and with a inner, I almost wanted to say, pride. Please forgive me this expression. Perhaps it doesn't fit here in this context. And nevertheless, I want to say it with a pride, not in haughtiness, but with a pride before God. I look to that what God has done, on his choice which he made in the simple man from the mountains of Kentucky, a hillbilly, that's how they all called him, is somebody who doesn't know grammar, who mixes up me and I, but who can distinguish mine and yours clearly. And I think this is very important. How often did God speak through this man, but others have looked down on him? They said, Billy, get next to yourself. I have heard it. How shall it be translated? Billy, get normal. Rectify yourself. It would have been better that all these high people would have understood that God wanted to rectify them. It was not about that one after the other came to rectify this prophet. They should have recognized that God has sent this prophet to rectify them, to correct them, to bring them out from the error, and to penetrate them with the divine truth. This is the thing what's all about. Beloved, if somebody now should reproach us and say, listen, you have here this man. We don't have this man. God has set this man. God sets into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And let me say it here today, there where God cannot set these ministries into the church, there the church cannot be built. For the Lord himself said in his word, you can read it, Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28 and other places, that God has set these ministries into the church so that the church is built up. If now the higher ranking prophetic ministry is rejected by the church, How can God build his church if that what he has to say unto the church for the edification is not received? They are people built, namely everyone as he likes. Of course, they are building, it's always a tower, and then the Lord bangs on it and everything is confused. We are not interested in to just build. We want that God can build his church, and so that he can build his church, we must give him the opportunity to it to restore his divine order in his church. Not people from a seminar, but men set by God, called by the Lord, and commissioned men sent from God. How often we emphasized when we read in the Holy Scriptures, John was a man sent from God. There the heart is rejoicing. If one knows a man is sent from God, he speaks by the commission of God. He brings to the people the word and the will of the Lord. Then we of course have to receive and to thank the Lord for it. You know, when Brother Branham prayed for the sick, this pillar of cloud came into the meeting. And how often he said, "Now I see the light above you. Now I see it over you. The Lord shows me this or that." What was it? It was a direct working of the Lord here on this earth. He who is in glory can nevertheless reveal and manifest himself in this pillar of cloud here on the earth, because he is God in heaven and here on earth. We cannot limit him and say, if he is here, then he is not there. He is in your and in my heart. He is in heaven, he is at the ends of the earth. Wherever we may go, there he is. But now it is about to recognize that we are living in a prophetic time, and that God has sent a prophet to undertake a course correction from Genesis to Revelation 22, to bring a straight line into the proclamation. One brother asked me, how can one bring together what Paul has said with that what Jesus has said, and then with that what Moses has said? My answer was very simple. If we that, what God said through Moses and through all the prophets, and that what he said through all the apostles and what he said himself, if we cannot bring this on one common denominator, then something is not right with us. God cannot contradict himself. It was him who spoke through Moses. It was him who spoke through the prophets. It was him who spoke himself on earth. It was him who spoke through the apostles. And if somebody wants to tell me, but this is in contradiction with that, for this you got up too late, then I count myself to the ones who get up early. No one can make me clear that one word speaks against the other word. You speak against the word, but not the word against the word. The contradiction is always in us and not in the word of God. How wonderful that God in these last days summarized everything so wonderfully. And for me, this is something very great. And then we of course came to know that the Lord time and again revealed things which were hidden. And as I mentioned yesterday, some ask, why was this not revealed earlier? God had great men, a Moody, and who they were. Of course, they were all great men, but the time was not come. And all these men, they were evangelists and not prophets. And the word of the Lord came to the prophets. So, God waited until the prophetic time comes. And therefore, he sent a prophet to reveal the prophetic word. Jeremiah and all the prophets. You can read it with Moses. And everywhere, they were ordained by God for a specific task. Doesn't matter what came in their lives or went. The divine purpose was above all earthly. And I tell you today, in the life of a child of God, the divine purpose is above all the earthly things. The divine purpose is at the first place. And if everything else in our lives should go wrong and break into pieces, then it shouldn't bother us. If only God comes to his right with all of us, and that we come from believing unto seeing. Everything else is left behind anyhow. And yet we worry so much and make efforts about the temporal things. The Lord appeared to the prophets in a supernatural glory. For them he ordained already from their mother's womb that they should fulfill a special task. Place yourself into this situation. There is a prophet of God over whom the Lord holds his hand. And we know when he came to Germany and to Switzerland, it's not a secret, he says it in the sermons. He makes the remark, and they all were drinking their beer and their wine while eating. In Germany, it was the beer, and I think in Switzerland, in Lausanne, it was the wine. And then they came to Brother Branham and said, listen, you must also drink with us. And then he says literally, please understand, I'm consecrated to the Lord. I may not do it. God doesn't permit me. And then he says very generously, ye may drink your wine and your beer with your meal. I drink my water. Now there are people or brothers who say, Brother Branham didn't drink one drop of alcohol, so all the others shall also not drink it. If you do this, God bless you. I drink with you the water, and the clearer it is, the better it is for me. But if I am somewhere and a glass of wine is served with a meal, then I drink this also. To me, the Lord didn't say something in this regard. And we see it with Paul also, that he said to Timothy, drink a bit wine because of your stomach. Some people take other people's instructions for themselves and get into an inner bondage, and this God does not want. God wants that you walk this way with Him, which He walks with you. Did you understand this well? We're not here to tell somebody what he should eat or what he should drink. We are just here to say that God shall have a special way with His prophets. Just imagine, there the Lord says that Samson's hair shall not be cut. And nevertheless, it is written in the Word of God, if a man has long hair, it is a shame for him. However, when a woman has long hair, it is an honor for her. With Samson, God made an exception. Is he not entitled to do this? Must God ask you for permission? Certainly not. Our God is above all, at all times, from eternity to eternity. Blessed is he who is not offended at him. And when we walk in the light, then we do not stumble. There are so many people who say, "Huh, he was an offense to me." I have heard this since 30 years many times. To me, not one man became an offense. Really not. Not one single man became an offense to me. I don't know why. Not one man. And do you know what the Holy Scripture says? He who walks in the light does not stumble. So, where is the stumbling block? If somebody walks in darkness, then it can happen. Oh, then he cries out and says, "I stumbled." And then he hobbles and hobbles. But he was in darkness. Otherwise, he would have seen the stumbling block and he wouldn't hobble at all. He would have stepped aside of the stumbling block. Do we understand this? He who walks in the light does not stumble. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another and with him. Then all human peanuts picking is over. Then we placed the thing of God over everything, and we leave to everyone his personal liberty. Very bad it gets when people put one another into straight jackets. This may never be. Paul says, "He who likes to eat strong food, let him eat, and he who cannot eat it, eateth it not. The one shall not judge the other." Everyone in the natural realm must do that what he does without owing any explanation to the other. We must get over these things. We cannot always spend time on these earthly things. And make no mistake, peanuts can be made a great thing. And after we made it a great thing, it has become a great obstacle for us. I say today, more problems do not exist than these which we make ourselves. And all of them are just as big and as little as we make them ourselves. God must give us grace to recognize that it is the craftiness of the enemy to make a mountain out of a molehill, placing the things so big before us so that we almost don't know the way anymore and how things will go on. God wants that we stand over all these things and that everyone keeps his personal liberty, but within the limits of the Word of God. The liberty of a child of God is within the limits of the Word of God. It can never go beyond it. If we understood this, then we will also understand that what God has given is much more precious and much more important than all the earthly things which we see or which we can notice. With God's help, we must succeed to get all the other things under our feet of faith, discerning the hour of God in which we arrived, being available for God for the last task which was given to the church. But as long as we have to eliminate the peanuts amongst us, we are not yet available for the great task which God has given us. In the same way as God has called Brother Branham, speaking through him, and by it calling out a bright church now at the end of days, in the same way must this called out bright church must face the task which God has given unto her. Brother Branham carried out his commission. I must carry out mine, and you yours, and we together, we have to carry out our commission. But actually, it's not our commission, but his divine sending in this time. And this makes the difference between all the spiritual directions and between what God does in these last days according to his word. God watches over his word to fulfill it. There was a word written, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." When the time was fulfilled, God watched over his word and let it happen and sent a prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord will break forth. Everything what is written in the word of God must be fulfilled. And let us receive every revealed word, believing it as it came forth from the mouth of the Lord. And then we are helped. And I really have one request, and please let nobody take it personally. Let us refrain that one teaches the other. Let us all sit under the sound of the word of God. And God will teach us all, for thus it is written, when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come, he will tell you all things. He will teach you. We have the teacher in us. The teacher is the Holy Ghost. And no one knows the word better than the Holy Spirit who has given it. They shall be all taught by God. And not one brother will need to teach the other. Formerly, this was totally different. There, one taught the other. Today, this is really not necessary anymore. No one needs to waste his time, but rather thanking the Lord for the privilege of having heard what the Lord speaks in these days. For we don't know when in the one and in the other the field in the heart is already prepared when the one or the other shall come forth. We have only one task, and this is therein to sow the seed. And Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase by his grace. The same is happening now. It is being planted. If you want to water it, all right, then do it. But the watering must of course come from above. This means that people were there who were praying for spiritual rain, namely among those who have heard and received the word of God. Divine watering doesn't mean to just come and to say a few words, but to come to pray for the people that they receive the Holy Spirit, so that the planted seed is watered, fertilized, that it can come forth unto a new life. Beloved, in these days, we want to pray that God fills us all with the Holy Spirit as then on the day of Pentecost. Nothing else we want but an original filling with the Holy Spirit. But to it, we must open our mouths, praising the Lord, for it is still written, open thy mouth, and I will fill it. Whoever closes his mouth, his heart has no entrance. We must open our mouth, praising the Lord, and then the river of blessing comes down into us. Today, we want to thank the Lord that after such a long time, in a supernatural way, he appeared, he spoke, he revealed, he worked. And also for that we may have part in that, what God is doing now. A greater privilege could not have been given to us. We may say, the lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have received a goodly heritage. May our God today lay his fire into our hearts and his Holy Spirit, that we may give him the due thanks and praise. And I think we are now coming to the front to worship together here. Let us all come to the front, thanking the Lord with all our hearts.